Services Division. I'm here to help kick off a Clue-In seminar, which is scheduled to begin right now at 2 p.m. Eastern. I apologize for the brief delay in starting today's session. We just had a quick technology check we had to complete, but it looks like everything is ready to go. If you're hearing my voice, you should be here for today's Clue-In seminar, which will focus on estimating environmental footprints using CEFA, which stands for Spreadsheets for Environmental Footprint Analysis. Today's seminar has been sponsored by the EPA's Technology, Innovation, and Field Services Division. That's actually where I work. And we'll be joined by a number of presenters from EPA and other organizations to talk about today's materials. I'll be serving as one of your online moderators. Another colleague, Carlos Pachon, will also be helping to moderate questions for today's live broadcast. Before we begin the technical portion of today's session, I want to cover a couple of important reminders and instructions so that everyone's familiar with how the session will run. If you are joining us for the very first time as a Clue-In seminar participant, and you're not sure what to do, I'm going to refer you back to a registration email that you would have received when you signed up. That email would have had a whole set of instructions on how to participate in today's broadcast, and would have sent you to the seminar homepage, which has a description for today's event, links to download copies of the presentation material, as well as the spreadsheets that will be discussed today, links to submit feedback, information about our presenters, as well as a very important button in the upper left corner that says Go to Seminar. If you click that Go to Seminar button, you'll be asked to identify yourself, and you can actually be brought to our online interactive Adobe Connect environment. The entire broadcast today will be delivered real-time through an interactive tool called Adobe Connect. You'll be able to watch as our presenters guide you through presentation materials, as well as provide live demonstrations of the CEFA tool or spreadsheets. You'll also be able to listen to that entire broadcast through your computer or mobile device. If you choose to download and call in on the phone, so you have hard copies of the materials, you can certainly do that, but there may be some components of the interactive demonstration that you'll miss out on. So we encourage you to work and try to get in through the interactive Adobe Connect room. Again, audio is available by default for all participants who are in the Adobe Connect room. If you're having any problems with that online volume, check your local speaker settings. Just a gentle reminder, if you're on the phone lines, you're going to want to go ahead and mute out your phones if you haven't done so already. For the online audio, you can either adjust your computer speaker volumes or go into your sound control panel to boost that up. If you continue to experience problems with the online audio, we do have toll-free call-in information for those that may need it. Simply type a message into the Q&A window in the lower right corner, and I'll be happy to give you the call-in information if it's required. We are going to ask that everybody who dials in on the telephone line remain on a global mute, so mute your telephones. Do not take yourself off of mute. That may cause other backgrounds or other audio disruptions. There's a Q&A window that appears in the lower right corner of your screen that already has a welcome message from me in there, and you'll be able to privately submit comments and questions there and report technical problems. So again, if you're having any issues, type it up in the Q&A window by entering your cursor in the thin box or field at the bottom of the Q&A window, typing up your text, and hitting enter or pressing the cartoon bubble to the right. You can test that feature out right now if you want to say hi or give me a quick status update to let me know how the audios and visuals are coming through for you. Today's session is being recorded and will automatically be archived. As soon as we have it up, it usually takes about 1 to 2 weeks. You will get an email letting you know how you can replay or download the materials that were discussed. And if you'd like to take a look at our current archives, we have well over 500 previously recorded Clue-In seminars that are available for free replay and download from the Clue-In website. Our session is actually going to take place in a room that looks something like this. So the majority of your screen is going to have some slides. Our presenters will control what you look at. As I've been doing, they'll click through the materials for you. You can simply sit back and watch. I want to draw your attention, though, to a full screen button that appears in the upper right corner of the window showing the slides. That full screen button may prove to be very helpful at various portions of today's talk. If you click the full screen button in the upper right corner of the slide window, it'll make the slides larger. When we do the live demonstration of the CEFA tool or spreadsheets, you may want to go into that full screen mode so that the window becomes bigger and the spreadsheets are easier to read. If you want to turn that view off, simply press full screen again, and it'll shrink the slides back down to the normal size. You'll see our Clue-In logo in the upper right corner, just letting you know who's hosting today's session. Below that is a box showing web links, which are active hyperlinks. You can click on any one of them, press the Browse To button, and actually open up those websites on your own computer. Again, I encourage you to browse through them. The place to download some of the spreadsheets and other related documents for CEFA can be found under web links. And then we have pulled together another window called Important Files. These are some of the spreadsheets that will be discussed today. You can actually click on one of those and then press the button that says Download Files and save them locally on your own computer. And then, of course, the Q&A window in the lower right corner where you can privately type your comments and questions and click that little cartoon bubble to submit them to us. You can type up comments and questions at any time, but we will take designated breaks to read off your questions so they can be answered by the presenters. Feel free to type them up whenever they occur to you, though. I think that's the end of the technical reminders that I have for today's session, so I'm going to go ahead and pull up our presentation materials and turn things over to our first speaker, who is Stephanie Vaughn. Stephanie, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me? And welcome to today's webinar, during which we will provide an overview of the Spreadsheets for Environmental Footprint Analysis, or CEFA for short. These spreadsheets were originally developed as a companion tool to EPA's methodology for understanding and reducing a project's environmental footprint. The methodology was published in February 2012 by EPA's Superfund program, and the footprint methodology itself can be found on the CLUIN website, the link for which is shown here. While it is expected that participants in this webinar already have a solid understanding of the Greener Cleanups concept and have participated in or reviewed past webinars on the footprint methodology, links to which you can find on CLUIN, here's a basic summary of the topic. First, EPA defines green remediation as the practice of considering all environmental effects of remedy implementation and incorporating options to minimize the environmental footprints of cleanup actions. There could be several definitions, but that's one. Towards this end, EPA developed a methodology whereby the environmental footprint or impact of an action can be determined in both quantitative and qualitative terms so that informed decisions can be made on how best to reduce the footprint. The goal of an evaluation is to identify the most significant contributors to a project's environmental footprint and better focus efforts to reduce it. And an evaluation can be performed during any phase of a project, including during investigation, design, implementation, and optimization of a long-term response. A few things to note, the footprint methodology is not intended to provide a full life cycle assessment, but rather focuses on the core elements of greener cleanups, including energy, air, water, materials and waste, and lands and ecosystems. And one last introductory note, although CEFA was originally designed for EPA's internal use, we realize that other parties may wish to use it as a model on a voluntary basis, so EPA made CEFA available to the public. The use of the CEFA workbooks is not required by EPA. Overall, you can find more information about the footprint methodology by reviewing the May 2013 webinar. Sorry, I forgot to click there. We conducted on the topic on CLUIN. Moving on to the next slide, studies of footprint analyses. These case studies will illustrate the benefits you can achieve through the use of CEFA and footprint analysis. While the webinar will be very technical and we'll get into the details of the worksheets, CEFA is complex and takes time to fully learn. Additional experience will likely be needed to run a footprint analysis on CEFA for one of your sites. Fortunately, there is a tutorial available on CLUIN, online at CLUIN, for additional assistance, and we will review other resources that are available at the end of the webinar. But we want to set your expectations properly at the start of this webinar. And finally, as I've already mentioned, the presentation today is based on the premise that participants already have a solid understanding of greener cleanups and are familiar with EPA's footprint methodology. Okay, that's it for the introduction and all the caveats and disclaimers. Here's the agenda for today's webinar. After the introduction, which I'm now finishing, Karen Sherman from EPA Region 9 we'll first provide the basics of CEFA and then demonstrate some examples of using CEFA. Next, Doug Sutton from Tetra Tech will run through the case studies I mentioned earlier. And finally, Carlos Pachon from EPA headquarters will wrap up the discussion. We will stop for questions and answers throughout the session, and there should be time for open forum questions and discussion during the wrap-up. So now, unless there are any questions, I'll turn things over to Karen.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Okay.
So, am I, Jean, can you hear me? I want to make sure I'm not on mute.
Yep, you're not muted. You're fine. Go ahead.
Okay, great. So we're going to first talk about the CIFA basics, and I'll start by showing the basic organization of CIFA using a tutorial-style work footprint analysis at a hypothetical site. And I'll use graphics first to explain the organization of CIFA, and then I'll follow those graphics with screenshots showing features of the data entry sheets. Now, these screenshots will give you a general idea of how data is entered in CIFA, and the specifics of data entry will be demonstrated in the next section of the webinar when I open up the Excel workbooks and run the demonstration examples. And Jean, for your purpose, for your knowledge, I'll just let you know that I am at my desk and there may be a little background noise. If you hear background noise, it's probably from my system, not from one of our participants.
Okay, great. We appreciate that. Thanks, Karen.
Okay. So let's start with a description of CIFA. CIFA stands for Spreadsheets for Environmental Footprint Analysis, and it's a set of Excel workbooks developed by EPA, and they're designed for conducting environmental footprint analyses at cleanup sites. So CIFA is compatible with EPA's footprinting methodology, and the workbooks are set up in blank slate template format, and they're structured for inputting data, running calculations, and organizing outputs. And CIFA is available on EPA's CLUIN website at the URL that you see at the bottom, and that's also on the right-hand panel of your screen. CIFA is available there along with EPA's footprinting methodology. So a little bit about CIFA in the context of greener cleanups. This is how you might proceed at a typical site where you're trying to make the cleanup greener, starting with a larger footprint and going to the smaller. And along the way, you're going to be identifying areas for reduction. You'll apply BMPs, and then you'll achieve your footprint reductions. Well, if you were going to run a footprint analysis, you would probably do it at this point in the process. You would use it to help you identify areas of reduction. And CIFA helps you with that part of the process. It helps you run your footprint analysis. If you've seen any of EPA's earlier webinars on the footprint methodology, you'll be familiar with this graphic. And you can see that this illustrates the seven steps in EPA's footprinting methodology. CIFA will help you with the middle three steps, steps 3, 4, and 5. It'll help you quantify your metrics for materials and waste, for water, and for energy and air. CIFA won't help you with steps 1 or 2. That's where you set your goals and scope of the analysis and you gather your remedy information. But once you've done that, then CIFA will help you crunch the numbers and run your footprint metrics. CIFA also does not help you with step 6. That's where you're going to be qualitatively describing the affected ecosystem services. And of course, CIFA will provide you with the metrics, with the numerical results. But in step 7, it's up to you to present and interpret the results. This is a graphic of the organization of CIFA. CIFA is comprised of 3 Excel workbooks, the main workbook, the energy workbook, and the calculations workbook. In these workbooks, the user sets up the analytic structure for the footprint analysis, enters information about the remedy, and then the workbooks exchange data and process the results. Now, I'll be getting into more detail on each of these workbooks in the upcoming slides, but suffice it to say for now that the user starts with the main workbook and enters information about the site and the remedy, and then moves to the energy workbook and sets up the analytic structure of the footprint analysis and enters additional data about the remedy. The energy workbook compiles intermediate results and sends them to the calculations workbook. Now, there's no data entry by the user in this workbook, but this workbook makes the footprint calculations and then sends the results back to the summary workbook. So again, we'll be getting into more details on this in the upcoming slides. And this is just a description of our hypothetical site that we'll be talking about in this webinar and using to demonstrate the CIFA workbooks. It's a simple dig and haul remedy. I'm calling it the Back 40 site. And you can see there the 5 stages in this remedy. conducting site investigation, excavating contaminated soil, transporting the soil to an off-site landfill, backfilling excavated areas, and conducting groundwater monitoring. So we'll see how this remedy plays out in the CEQA worksheets. So now we're going to get into more specifics on each of the workbooks, starting with the main workbook. In the main workbook, the user enters basic site information. Okay, I think you can see me clicking through. Somehow we got some double clicks in there. So we're in the main workbook. The user enters basic site information, and then the user enters material information about materials, usage, waste generation, and water usage. And then the workbook provides a summary of the results. We're going to first visit the blank summary table. So here's a screenshot of the summary table. This is blank before data entry, and this is a screenshot from the main workbook. And you can see that at the top we have default placeholder names for the stages of our remedy, components 1 through 5. And then this is where the summary table summarizes information about materials, waste, water, energy, and air. And then here's our totals. Now, this summary table is set up to reflect EPA's footprinting methodology, and we'll revisit this table after each stage of data entry. So what the user does, again, first we enter basic site information. So for our hypothetical site, we'll enter the name of the site, the name of the remedy, and the stages of the remedy. And this is a screenshot of the data entry sheet where we do that. I've entered information about the site name, Back 40, the remedy name, Dig and Haul. Here's our stages of the remedy, our 5 stages. And I'll point out that the user may identify up to 6 remedy stages or components. And then there's space below for a general description of the remedy. So this gives an idea of some of the information that we would enter. Of course, there would be more, but this is just a sampling. For materials, HDPE liner for the stockpile area and clean fill for backfilling are 2 examples. For waste, we have concrete being sent off-site for reuse, and we have contaminated soils being sent off-site for disposal. And then we're using water for dust control. So now we're going to take a look at the data entry sheets for that information. This is a screenshot of the data entry sheet for materials. And I'll point out first that the heading to this data sheet is automatically populated with the name of the site and the name of the remedy. It's also automatically populated with the name of the stage of the remedy, in this case, excavation. And this is for refined materials. And you'll see that I've entered information for the HDPE liner, and it's 20,000 pounds. And we're going to be following the HDPE through the worksheets to see how the CEQA worksheets manage that information and process the results. Here's another screenshot for the backfill portion of the remedy. This is showing data entry for unrefined materials. And you can see that I've entered information about clean fill and drain rock for backfilling. Now we're looking at the data entry sheet for waste. And this is for the excavation portion of the remedy. And this part of the worksheet is for recycled and reused waste. So we have vegetation being moved off-site and being used on-site for compost, and we have concrete paving being shipped off-site for reuse. And another aspect of the waste footprint is here in soil to landfill, and this is waste being sent off-site for disposal. And we have hazardous waste being sent to a landfill, and we have non-hazardous waste being sent to a landfill. And I'll point out that the information in the orange cells in these worksheets, these are results that are being carried forward to the summary table. Finally, we're looking at the water data entry sheet. And Jean, I don't know if I'll pause here in case you want to make a comment about the background noise. Yeah. That background noise is not from my system.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and turn on a global mute to help cut down on that background noise. I apologize.
So bear with me. Stephanie, you're going to, or pardon me, Karen, you're going to hear a message play, and when you hear that message play that I've globally muted the line, Karen and Karen only, you can hit #6 to keep talking.
All right.
The leader has muted your line. To unmute your line, press #6.
So I've globally muted all of the callers. Karen, again, and Karen only, you can hit #6 to keep talking. That will also apply to all presenters. When it's your turn, you'll need to hit #6 to talk. I would ask all callers, please remain on the mute. Do not unmute your phone lines. Thank you.
Hi, Jean. Can you hear me?
I can. Please continue on.
Okay, great. Thank you. So this is the water data entry sheet. And you can see that I've entered information about the excavation portion of the remedy. And this is public water supply being used for on-site dust control. And so the question may come up, where did we get this data? And my screen is kind of blinking in and out, so bear with me while I make sure that these stay up. So where did we get this data? Well, typically we'll get this kind of information that is required for a footprint analysis from a feasibility study, from cost estimates, or engineering designs. And this is all information that you may have, documentation that you may have for your site and your remedy. Where information is lacking in those materials, then we would use professional judgment for information required for our footprint analysis. So we finished entering data about materials, waste, and water. And the workbook provides a summary of the results. And we're going to go ahead and revisit the summary table. And you can see that the headings to this table have been populated with the names of our remedy stages. And you can also see that the information about materials has been populated, summarized from the previous data entry. We have amount of materials in tons, and we have the percent of materials from recycled sources, and our totals. We have waste, the amount of waste in each stage of the remedy in tons, percent of waste going to reuse or recycling, and our totals. And then we have water, the amount in millions of gallons, and our total. And so you can see that we've now completed the first part of our footprint metrics, and that basically what the CEFA worksheets have done so far is simply compile and report the information that we've entered. So we finished data entry in our main workbook, and we're going to go on to the energy workbook. Carlos, I think this is where we were going to stop for questions. So if you have any questions that have come up to date, maybe we can take them at this point.
Yes, hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Thank you, Karen. So this is Carlos Petron again. We're checking to see if there are any questions now. We've covered the introduction and the main workbook parts of the agenda. Let me first ask if there are speakers on the phone, if there are any questions you'd like to ask at this point of the material covered so far.
You can take yourself off of mute to ask a question by hitting #6. If you're on the phone and have a question, hit #6, and then feel free to ask it out loud.
Okay, we'll give you a second to formulate that thought and press #6 if you have questions. Okay, you can still do that, but while we we have a question from Gabriel Cruz on the Internet. And Karen, the question is, are we limited to only 6 components when entering data on the main page?
Yeah, the answer to that is yes, we are limited to 6 major components of the remedy. But as you'll see as we get into the energy workbook, there are ways to subdivide each of those components to distinguish among various subsets of each of the components. So in effect, we actually have 14 possibilities, but those come to light in the energy workbook.
Okay, so we'll be getting to that in a minute. I think I heard a voice. Is there a question on the phone line, please? Nope, we do have one more question here on the Adobe Connect room from Janet Pergam. The question is, Karen, does the summary table include everything that EPA considers to be part of a footprint? What about off-site logistics, such as trucks?
Yes, the summary table will take that into account. We haven't gotten to that yet. That will be taken into account in the energy workbook, and you'll see how that gets entered into the summary table after we do that data entry.
Yes, and in addition, if I may add, you're also invited to review the footprint evaluation methodology of the document itself, which describes some of the thinking that went into developing the CEFA spreadsheets, and it provides some suggestions for considerations of what data should be entered. You will also receive shortly some suggestions of how parameters can be screened out. So with that, I think we'll move on to stay on schedule. There are some more questions. We'll take them a little bit later. Thank you, Karen. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, thanks, Carlos. So we're going to go ahead and take a look at the Energy Workbook now, and this will get at some of the questions we just heard. In the Energy Workbook, we set up the analytic structure of the footprint analysis, and we enter data for on-site and off-site activities. And then the workbook compiles the intermediate results. So to start out, in setting up the analytic structure, the user creates a worksheet for each stage in the remedy. So you remember our remedy stages are site investigation, excavation, soil to landfill, backfill, and groundwater monitoring. And the user starts with a template worksheet in the Energy Workbook, and that's shown here in this screenshot. And you make 5 copies of the template worksheet for our hypothetical site, and you name the new worksheets for each stage in the remedy. These can be set up to differentiate among various aspects of the remedy. You can differentiate among different stages of the remedy, as I did here. Or perhaps you could do alternative remedy designs if that's what makes sense for your footprint analysis. You can also get into specific remedy activities. So for example, if there were 2 distinct portions of my excavation stage, let's say excavation part A and excavation part B, I would have made 2 tabs for excavation, one for excavation part A and one for excavation part B. Another way that we've used CEFA in setting up our footprint analyses is to represent separate years in the remedy. So for example, if I had a remedy that was extending for 4 years and each year was different from the last, I could set up these tabs for year 1, year 2, year 3, and year 4. The point is that in setting up the tabs, this provides the user flexibility for modeling the site to answer the questions that you may have for your site and your footprint analysis. So let's take a closer look at the template worksheet. It has various tables in the worksheet. This one is for personnel transportation. This is for on-site equipment, electricity usage, natural gas usage. And this is page 1, and you can see we haven't done any data entry yet. It's all still a blank slate. Page 2, we have materials production and transport, waste management and transport, miscellaneous emissions, laboratory analysis, and renewable energy. Same blank slate for all 5 stages of the remedy. And this may look like a lot of blank cells to fill in, but remember, we only use the cells that are relevant to our site, and we enter as much or as little data as needed for our footprint analysis. So we've just finished setting up the analytic structure in our energy workbook. And now we're going to enter data. And this gets to the question of on-site or off-site activities. So for our hypothetical site, we have on-site equipment being used. We have transportation of personnel, materials, and waste. And we have other off-site activities such as laboratory analysis and waste management. So we're going to take a look at how that data entry shows up in our hypothetical site. And we're going to start with site investigation. And if you could, I'm going to pause here just for a moment with mute. Okay, thanks. We had a little conversation going on in the office here, but I didn't want to be background noise. We're looking now at the site investigation tab in the Energy Workbook. And you can see that for personnel transportation, we have entered information about various crews that would be involved in this part of the remedy. And again, I won't be going into detail on what's in each of these cells, but it's basically information about the work crew and transportation of that crew. Here's information about on-site equipment. And you can see I've entered information about two pieces of equipment and information regarding the operation of that equipment on-site. Now, we could have left these items out of the footprint analysis if it's more detail than we need, or we could have added more detail if that's appropriate to our site. We're looking now at the excavation tab for the excavation portion of the landfill, of the remedy, and we're looking at the materials production and transport table. And you can see that we've entered information about materials, and here's our HDPE that we're following through the presentation. And we've entered information about the amount and the transportation of that material to the site. In shot, offer drop-down menus. The blue cells are from lookup tables or their calculated values, and the yellow cells are data entry by the user. And you can see that the pink and yellow cells provide user flexibility in data entry. So we're looking now at the tab, the input tab for soil to landfill, and this is the table for waste management and transport. And you can see that I've entered information about the hazardous and non-hazardous waste. And this is information about the amount of waste, where it's going, and how, and the transport distances. So now we've finished entering the information about on-site and off-site activities. And the workbook compiles the intermediate results. We will now visit the intermediate data table to see how that works. And the first thing that you can see in this screenshot, this is a summary tab in the energy workbook. And the first thing that you can see in the screenshot is the headings for the columns in this table are the same as our site, our remedy stages. Now, the user enters this information by hand. The user enters the information about the component names, the names of the stages of the remedy by hand. And I'll demonstrate that in the second part of this webinar where I'll open up the Excel worksheets. But for now, let's just take a look at how the summary information is organized in this worksheet. Here you have the on-site diesel use summarized here from the tabs that we entered earlier. Here we have gasoline and diesel used for transportation. And this is our HDPE that we're following through the site. You can see that it's summarized here in this table. Public water, waste disposal, and laboratory analysis, and backfill material. There are several pages of intermediate results. And the energy workbook sends the results to the calculations workbook. So now we've finished the energy workbook. And again, I think our plan was to pause here for questions to see if any questions have come up about this part of the data entry.
Yes, hello.
Carlos, if you're speaking, at least on my line, you're coming in very faint.
Remember, Carlos, if you've muted, it's going to be #6 to unmute your phone.
Yes, thank you. I had my headset on. I meant to take it off. Thanks for that. So, yes, there's a global mute. If you are on the phone lines and you have a question, I'll give you a few minutes to formulate it, and then you can hit #6 to unmute the phone. Let me first check the phone lines to see if we have some questions. Okay, the first one here is from Christina Benz. The question is, does the energy workbook have options to include air travel as well as personal vehicle transport?
Yes, it does. And when we get into the worksheets and I can show kind of live, I can show the drop-down menus, we'll see where the air travel is available to the user.
Okay, now I can add to that, Karen. There's an implied question in that, and that is what the scope of the footprint analysis is. And that's an important question that we suggest folks ask themselves up front. It was covered in more depth in the earlier webinar, the one that led up to this one. So if you have not had a chance participate in that webinar, I'd encourage you to go back. It's in the meeting invitation to this one. And listen to that webinar. There's some discussion about establishing scope for the footprint analysis. Thanks for that, Jean. We have another question from John Oliver. Is there a limit to the number of stages you can have when copying from the master template?
Hello. Yes, I was on mute. You can make up to 14 copies of the template worksheet in the Energy Workbook. So that's a limit for making subdivisions of different activities in the Energy Workbook. And then again, as we mentioned before, in the main workbook, you have a limit of 6 major stages of the remedy.
Okay, thank you. Of the templates, but the template includes the text shown in the blank space.
Let's hold off on that question until I get into the workbooks, and I think I'll be explaining the answer to that question when I go through my demonstration examples. But if the requester does not feel like their question has been answered at that point, then let's revisit that question. But if I understand the question, I'll be demonstrating it in the demonstration portion of this webinar.
Okay, and we have a final question, which is pretty straightforward, but there is an implied question about the information that's embedded in the CIFA spreadsheets. It's from Nick Petrucci. The question is, does CIFA automatically account for fuel use and associated air emissions from heavy equipment used at the landfill when the information related to waste transportation is entered?
The question, I believe, if I can rephrase it, or the way that I understand the question, is that is the footprint from waste management at the offsite landfill, is that taken into account in CIFA? The answer is yes. We have footprint information from LCI databases, that's life cycle inventory databases, that we use to model the emissions and the energy requirements at the offsite landfill where the waste from this site is being disposed. And in that life cycle inventory data is included all of the activities and efforts at the offsite landfill, including equipment at that offsite landfill and all of the effort that's required to manage the waste at that landfill. So I hope that I got the question right, and I hope the answer was clear.
Yes, and if I may add to that, there are quite a few conversion factors embedded in CIFA, and again, those are covered in more detail in the previous webinar, both where they're located and how they can be modified. But yes, pounds of NOx and gallons used per mile and pounds of NOx per gallon and factors like that are embedded in the spreadsheet, and we'll be getting to that as well in a little bit more detail coming forward.
And in fact, we'll be looking at that at the very next portion that we're doing here.
Perfect. Well, we have a few more questions, but I think we've hit on some pretty high-level ones, so that covered a lot of points. So we'll move on. Karen, hand it back to you.
Okay, thanks, Carlos. So, yeah, some of the questions that we got will be covered here in the calculations portion of this webinar. So now we're looking at the calculations workbook, and as a reminder, no data entry is required by the user in this workbook. So that's great. We finished that. And we're just going to take a look at how the workbook makes the footprint calculations. The workbook, the calculations workbook first obtains inputs from the energy workbook, then applies the footprint conversion factors, and sends the results to the main workbook. So I'm going to take a moment to describe what I mean by applying footprint conversion factors. This is our 20,000 pounds of HDPE that we're following through the discussion. And this is a footprint conversion factor for CO2 equivalents emitted per pound of HDPE manufactured. This is our footprint conversion factor for CO2 equivalents emissions. Of course, this is a very simple calculation, and if you multiply that out, you get 38,000 pounds of CO2 equivalents emitted during the manufacture of the HDPE. Of course, for that same HDPE, you have a footprint conversion factor for particulates also. And if you multiply that out, you get the 13 pounds of particulates. There's the same calculation, the same type of calculation for energy, NOx, SOx, and HAPS that we do in the CEFA worksheets, and that's recommended in EPA's footprint methodology. And the same set of calculations for all materials and services related to the remedy. And so services here includes off-site management of waste that's generated on-site and disposed of off-site. Now these are, each one of them, very simple calculations, of course, but there will be a lot of them. And so one of the things that CEFA does is it helps you organize those calculations. And in fact, this is where that happens. This is a screenshot of a worksheet in the calculations workbook where the footprint conversion factors are being applied. The calculations workbook automatically applies the footprint conversion factors to all materials and off-site support activities. And we're going to take a look at how this works for HDPE. Here's our 20,000 pounds of HDPE. And if we look at the greenhouse gas portion of this table, we'll see here's our 1.9 pounds of CO2 equivalents emitted per pound of HDPE produced. And here's the multiplication result, the 38,000 pounds of CO2 equivalents emitted. Now, this spreadsheet automatically does that calculations for all of the metrics recommended in EPA's footprint methodology, the energy metric, greenhouse gas, have in our hypothetical site. So here's those same calculations or parallel calculations being made for diesel produced at the refinery and gasoline produced at the refinery. And this table also includes footprint calculations for combustion of these fossil fuels. And I'm trying to get my page to go down, and it doesn't seem to be going down. Jean, I don't know if you can step in and advance the page. It doesn't seem to be. Okay. It looks like there are delays in advancing the page. Let me see if I can do it this way. Okay, great. So we were on looking through the calculations workbook, the calculations, the footprint calculations on this web, on this screenshot, and here we have waste disposal. So here are the footprint calculations being run for the waste disposal, waste management of waste off-site at the off-site landfill. This is lab analysis. And these, the footprint conversion factors in this table are based on information from public sources, and they are referenced in EPA's footprinting methodology. So for any information about exactly how we got each of these footprint conversion factors, you can reference the footprinting methodology. Now, there are several pages of footprint calculations, and these intermediate results in the calculations workbook we found are very useful for understanding the nuances of a footprint. Although the user doesn't do any data entry in this workbook, the user can access the data and extract it and make charts to help understand the nuances of the footprint. Now, the calculations workbook sends the results to the main workbook. So we finished the calculations workbook, and we're going back, and we're going to look at the summary of the results in the main workbook. So here's our screenshot of our summary table that we saw earlier. And here are where the energy results are populated in this table. This is the amount of energy used in each of the stages of the remedy. And this gets at the question as to whether things like transportation and on-site equipment use are represented in this table. And they are. Those activities are factored in or contribute to this energy summary. This is in million BTUs, and there's our totals for energy. Also, we have the air emissions results. This is NOx, SOx, and PM emissions in pounds, and greenhouse gas emissions in tons of CO2 equivalent, and our totals. Now, in order to stay on time, I see we have about 3 minutes left for this portion of the webinar. I'm going to go ahead and go very quickly through the next slides. Just to summarize, we now have completed all of our footprinting metrics, but how do we present and interpret the results? And this is just a few thoughts about that. One point is that we may want to make a higher level summary instead of the detailed table that we saw with simplified metrics, those of greatest importance to our site, totals only, and units that are appropriate to our site, thousands of gallons here for water instead of millions of gallons. And we might want to emphasize certain points. For example, these numbers are not exact numbers, of course, they're estimated, it's our estimated footprint for our site. We might want to take a closer look at some of the results in this table. So for example, we might want to know what is contributing to this CO2 equivalence footprint. This is 940 tons. And this is one way that we might do that. We might want to look at key contributors. So this is our 940 tons of CO2 equivalents, our greenhouse gas emissions. And you can see that HDPE is here. This is following our HDPE through the remedy, through the footprint analysis. And it's a very small contributor. And so what this gets at is our key contributors. And you can see that that large bar is the transportation diesel usage at our site. We also have secondary contributors such as on-site diesel use, diesel produced, and waste disposal, and laboratory analysis. And then finally, we have our very minimal contributors that we probably don't want to pay attention to or worry about during our footprint analysis, that is, during our attempt to reduce our footprint, because these are such minor contributors. Now, a disclaimer, CEFA does not automatically provide this chart. Instead, the user can make charts like this using the intermediate data tables that I pointed out before. And this is just to say that CEFA can be very useful for testing alternative scenarios, such as using public water, reclaimed water instead of public water for dust control, biodiesel instead of diesel, and then doing additional site investigation that can maybe help us reduce the amount of soil going to the landfill. And so CEFA, we found, can be used to test alternative scenarios. It's very handy for doing these sorts of, testing these sorts of questions. CEFA has additional features like tracking renewable energy sources, specifying local power mix for grid electricity, establishing unique footprint conversion factors, and modeling carbon storage. And these and other features in CEFA allow flexibility for accurately modeling specific site and remedy conditions. So wrapping up, recapping, CEFA can be set up to reflect any remedy design. It automatically applies footprint conversion factors. And it compiles results consistent with EPA's footprinting methodology. So that wraps up the information on CEFA basics. And Carlos, it looks like we're about 1 minute over for this part of the webinar. I don't know if you see any questions that you think should be answered at this point. We could do them, and then I'll just economize in the next part.
Yes, and I think we're doing pretty good. Good job on that, okay. Karen. Thanks for staying so close to the schedule we had. There is a very general question from Ocean. The Keeley. The question is, what version of Excel are the spreadsheets, or is that irrelevant?
I wonder if we can call on Doug Sutton to answer that. I am not sure.
It's a version 14 that came out with the 2010 version of Excel. So the Excel that came out with Microsoft Office in 2010, that's the version that was that's the package that was created with, and the version, if you go to the About Excel and all that, it gives you the version number. It was 14 with a bunch of decimal numbers after that, but it's the one that came out with Microsoft 2010.
So 2010, if it's 2007, you might consider an upgrade, but 2010 forward, it should work. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and one last question here. It gets back to what you just covered from Nicole Ott. It appears that the HDPE mass and tons were manually entered in both the main worksheet and in the energy workbook. Or is the HDPE mass entered in the main workbook? So I think you addressed this in your example, but just to it's the same question we opened up this section with. I think it reverts to the conversion factors.
Well, if I understand the question, it's whether we enter HDPE, that 20,000 pounds, once or twice in the workbooks. And we manually enter it twice. We enter it first in the main workbook, in the materials worksheet. And I showed screenshots of that. And then when we're in the energy workbook, for the portion of the remedy where we use the HDPE liner, we do enter it again. We enter it in the materials manufacturing and transport table. And so, yes, the user enters that twice. One thing that the user can do is link those two so that instead of actually entering it twice, you simply link to the original data entry, and then anytime the original may be changed, then the secondary time that it's entered will automatically be updated.
Right. And yes, just to be clear, if you want to just calculate the CO2 emissions and the energy use, you only need to enter it into the energy worksheet. You do not need to enter it in the main worksheet in order to just get the energy or the emissions and energy numbers.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, that's a good point to clarify. The two sets of worksheets are organizing the data for two different purposes. One, simply the total mass of materials being used as recommended in the footprint methodology. And then the second time in the energy workbook, that's where we get the footprint from the manufacturing of the material, as well as that's where we can enter information about transport of that material. And you'll actually see this a little more clearly when we get into the, when I open up the worksheets.
Let's go there. Thanks for the questions, everybody. Back to you, Karen.
Okay, great. Thanks. Now, Jean,
you need to go back to the Adobe screen.
Okay.
And remember, we're going to have to redo the share my screen, but this time you can pick the application you'd like everyone to see.
Now do you see an Excel workbook?
Yes, we do.
Great. Thank you.
And just a reminder for participants, if you're having any problems viewing the material sheet displaying right now, there's a full screen button that you'll see in the upper right corner of the window where the material is being displayed. She's going to go through a live demonstration of the Excel spreadsheets. Right now you see a green bar with some text, but you will see the spreadsheets in just a moment. If you click the full screen button, that'll make that window bigger, so it might be easier to read the slides and the spreadsheet she'll be going through.
Thanks, Jean. And also, I'll try to zoom in where I see that the cells are very small, and I'll try to make them bigger. So, okay, so now we're going to go through those points without going back to the PowerPoint. So, the demonstration workbooks reflect the same hypothetical sites as a screenshot. And I did add an additional activity, a pump and treat system that's been added to help illustrate key features. And I'm going to start with a brief walkthrough of the workbooks, highlighting some features that don't show up on the screenshots, as we've already discussed. I won't be visiting every tab in the workbooks. There are a lot of tabs, and we'll just be visiting a few of the most important tabs for this webinar. And in the examples that I'll demonstrate, I'll be demonstrating three key features of CIFA. I'll be adding a new activity to the remedy. I'll show how to provide the fuel mix for grid electricity. And then I'll add a new remedy material with unique footprint conversion factors. So let's get started with that. And I'll first of all point out that you need to have all three workbooks open at the same time in order for the workbooks to exchange data and process the results. And you can see here, as I'm highlighting the bottom of the screen, we have the main workbook, the energy workbook, and the calculations workbook all open at the same time. So we're going to start by looking at the main workbook. And this is the intro tab. This is a description of features and structure of CIFA for the benefit of the new user. And as I scroll down, you'll see that there's a narrative description, and there are schematics showing the structure of CIFA. Next, we're going to take a look at what's called the General tab, and you should recognize this from our screenshots in the first part of the webinar. And I'm going to scroll down and point out that whereas before the component 6 was not being used, we're now using it for the pump and treat activities that I've added to these demonstration workbooks. Let's now take a look at the summary tab. We're still in the main workbook, and you'll recognize this as from our screenshots in the earlier part of the webinar. As a reminder, the summary tab is automatically populated with results from the other tabs and workbooks. I also want to point out that many cells in the CIFA workbooks, especially the ones that are colored blue, are protected. And if you click on them, you'll get a warning message like this. Now, of course, these cells are protected are locked in order to protect the formulas and links in the CIFA workbooks. And although the user cannot modify the formulas in these cells, you can view the formula, as you can see up here, if you see my cursor up in the formula bar. You can view the formulas in each of the cells by looking at the formula bar. And I also want to point out that even though many cells in CIFA are locked, you can still modify the formatting of many aspects of these cells. So for example, I have here, I'm highlighting this cell for water usage, and it says 2. If I wanted more decimal points, I can do that. I can modify the format. And other aspects of the formatting of the workbooks are also available to the user. Now, I want to point out that along the bottom here, you can see the tab names if you follow my cursor along the bottom of the page. You can see that there are 6 tabs each for materials, waste, and water. And this corresponds to the 6 remedy components available in CIFA. So for example, here we have material 6, materials 1 through 6. And for waste, tabs for water 1 through 6. Again, corresponding with the 6 remedy components available in CIFA. I also want to point out that we have tabs for energy and air. And we didn't mention this in the earlier part of the webinar. But I want to point out at this point that this is where the information from the calculations workbook gets transferred over to the main workbook. And all the cells that are white in this table, this is where the main workbook takes the information from the calculations workbook. The main workbook here, this tab, compiles the data in these orange cells. And then the results in the orange cells from this tab get forwarded to the summary table that we've been looking at all along. We're going to take a look now at the energy workbook. And you can see that along the bottom we have tabs for our original 5 components of the remedy, and that I've added the pump and treat. Of course, these tabs have been set up specifically for this hypothetical site. And when you download CIFA from the first time from the internet, the energy workbook will not have these multiple tabs. Instead, you'll see a template tab. As you can see, my cursor at the bottom right at the template tab. For each new site, the user sets up the analytic structure appropriate to the site, beginning with the template tab, making a copy of the tab, renaming the new tab, and then entering data specific to the site. And I'll demonstrate this as one of our examples. And as we mentioned before, the user can make up to 14 copies of the template tab. Now let's take a look at the calculations workbook. And I have to zoom in, out on this one so we can see the whole thing. The point here is not the detail, but a reminder that there's no data entry by the user in this workbook. And I also want to point out that the worksheets, let me zoom in a little bit. The worksheets are set up and subdivided into 4 aspects of the footprint. On-site contributions to the footprint, as you see here. In the next page, contributions from electricity generation, contributions from transportation, and then all other off-site contributors to the footprint. And that off-site footprint is represented in 3 different pages. Now, these subdivisions are recommended in EPA's footprinting methodology and can help the user in understanding the footprint at your site. So let's pause here for maybe a minute or two if there are any questions that have come up just on this general organization of CIFA, and then we'll go into our first demonstration example. Carlos, if you're there, are you on mute or are you speaking? You might want to check and see if there are any questions.
Yes, thanks. I'm toggling between my headset and picking up the phone. And sometimes that causes a bit of a lag. So let me go back to the phone lines. We haven't given you a chance to ask questions in a while. So let me remind you, there's a global mute, so you should press #6 to unmute your phones. And first ask if there are any questions on the phone lines. Okay, I do have a very specific question, but you might be able to address it in a more general manner. The question is, it's from Luisa Dimitrescu, and she's asking, I have a reference error in the summary sheet in the main workbook. So you might be able to address what might cause, in general, what might be the causes of a reference error in the main workbook. And the consideration
yes.
that there are three spreadsheets. Some of those details that were explained in the email about downloading them.
Yes. So you may be seeing error messages or reference labels in error in this part of this workbook. And the thing to check if that happens is that the names, first of all, that all three workbooks are open. And then second of all, in the general tab in each workbook, make sure that this cell, the calculations file name here, is the exact same name as what is as the actual file name of the workbook. So I'm just going to demonstrate here. If I had an extra space by mistake and went back to my summary table, you'll see a bunch of reference messages. But if I go back and I get that, and you see an error message here, if I go back and make sure that this is exactly the same as the name of my file name.
The computer's a little slower than you are. There you go.
Oh, okay. So hopefully everybody saw the error messages and then saw me go back. Thank you, Doug. And saw me go back and adjust this so that it was correct again. This now is exactly the same as the file name. Now I go back to my summary sheet, and you should see that the workbooks are talking to each other again.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry about the delay there. I should be aware of that delay. And I just want to point out that in each workbook, there is an equivalent general tab in which you want to check to make sure that the file names correctly represent the actual file names of your files. So that's the first thing to try, and then hopefully that will correct the problem.
Yes, it seems like that did answer it. So thank you. So
okay.
Once again, are there any questions on the phone lines? Remember to hit #6 if you'd like to ask a question on the phone line. Okay, I think most of the other questions we have were answered subsequently, so we can move on to the next section.
Okay, great. Thanks, Carlos. So again, I'm going to try to do three examples here. We may only get to two of them. But we'll see how it goes. We're going to start with one key aspect of CIFA, which is adding a new activity to the remedy. And our scenario is that we now realize that regrading will be necessary following the backfilling activities at our site. And so we're going to add regrading activities to the backfill component of the worksheets. We're going to start by looking at the general tab in the main workbook. And you can see that component 4 here is being used for the backfilling activities. And we're going to add the regrade activities to component 4 along with the backfilling. Now, the other thing that we're going to do first is look at our summary sheet. And we're going to look at the backfilling portion of the summary sheet you see me highlighting here. And we're going to just take a look at as an indicator, the greenhouse gas emissions estimated at this point for the backfill portion of the remedy. And that's 77 tons of CO2 equivalents. And we're going to see how this changes when we add the backfilling, the regrading activity to the backfill portion of the remedy. So let's go ahead and just do that. And then, so what we do is we go into the energy workbook, and we go to the template tab. we make a copy of the template tab. And we place that copy out of convenience, right after the backfill portion of the remedy. So now you'll see that we have a new tab appearing. This is the copy that we just made. And I'm going to rename that, calling it Regrade. Now that we have our new Regrade tab in the Energy Workbook, we're going to start filling in the data. And you can see at the top here we have blank space for the user to enter a description of the remedy. Or this. And you can see that there's plenty of room for a more lengthy description in for a real site. Now we're going to move to the first table, which is personnel transportation. And we're going to enter information about a regrading crew. And you can see across the way here we have cells for information about the operation or mobilization of that crew. So I'm just going to go across and demonstrate how to use these cells. We are going to say we have a crew size of 3 and that they're working for 20 days. And that's 8 hours per day. And you can see in the blue cell, the next one over to the right, we have a formula that calculates the total hours worked for that crew. We now have the option of entering information about transportation of that crew. And so we're going to say that crew has 20 round trips to the site. The round trip distance is 50 miles. And then here we can see a drop-down menu. And I'm going to zoom in for mode of transport. And you can see that the user can choose various modes of transport, including the airplane and train and so forth. And we're going to choose a light-duty truck. We choose our fuel type, and I'm going to choose diesel. And as I do that, these cells either get populated with information that's been calculated, or in the case of the fuel usage rate, this is information that's obtained from a lookup table. And then we have space here for notes. So that's how we enter information about personnel transportation. We're now going to take a look at entering information about equipment usage on site. And that's in this table here. You can see that in this pink cell, we have a drop-down menu of various types of equipment that may be found at a cleanup site. And I'm going to choose the backhoe. And as we go off to the right, you can see that we enter information about operation of that equipment. We're going to call it a 100 horsepower backhoe, and the load factor we'll call 75%. And here we choose the fuel that that backhoe is going to be using on site during its operation. And you can see this information, units of fuel use per hour, comes from a lookup table. And then when we enter the hours of operation, 100, the next cell calculates the amount of fuel that's used by that piece of equipment given the specifics that I just entered. The rest of this table helps the user deal with the transportation or mobilization of that equipment onto the site. So we're going to just say that it's a one-time only mobilization, one round trip of that piece of equipment to the site. That's a 50-mile round trip. And that the fuel is diesel. And so then we get automatic lookup table and calculation information here for the amount of fuel that's required to transport that equipment to the site. And again, we have space for notes to the right. Of course, you can see there's ample space for different kinds of equipment. And I'm going to go ahead and put in one more piece of equipment, a grader at 150 horsepower, 75% load factor. It's diesel. It's operated on diesel fuel, 125 hours of operation and the same mobilization information as for the first piece of equipment. So we have our two pieces of equipment and room for more if we need it. Let's go now and do one more piece of data entry. Again, I'm trying to keep this simple so that we don't spend too much time with hands-on data entry, but that you get a general idea of how to do data entry in the worksheets. And we're going to say that during our regrading, we discovered additional concrete that is going to be sent off-site for reuse. And you can see here under the waste transportation and disposal, we have a drop-down menu that shows different possible destinations for waste disposal. And we're going to choose this one, location for reuse, because our concrete is being sent off-site for reuse. Then off to the right, we have additional information about that concrete. So for quantity, I'm going to say 50 tons. We have default in this cell. You see the 50-mile one-way distance as a default for the transportation. But in the next cell, I can override that. I happen to know that it's going one-way distance 30 miles away. So this overrides the 50 miles. And it's going to take three trips to transport this material off-site. My mode of transportation is going to be truck and fuel type. Before I do that, I'm going to scroll over so we can see these cells. The fuel type is diesel, and you can see that we're calculating out the amount of fuel required for that transportation. And I can make a note here if I want. So that's my concrete being sent off-site for reuse. I'll also note that often for truck trips, we'll want to represent an empty return trip. And in the interest of time, I'm not going to do that now, but this table allows you to do that as well. So now we've finished our data entry for this very simple example in the worksheet that we made for regrade activities. And we're going to visit the summary tab, and we're going to see how the regrade activities show up. And you'll notice that we have across the top our five original remedy components and then our pump and treat that I added before the workshop, before this webinar. And you can see that regrade does not show up. And so this is where the user types in the regrade label at the top of this column. This causes the column to be populated with information that I just entered, basically a summary of the information that I entered in the regrade worksheet. You can see how this column became automatically populated when I added the regrade label to the column. The other thing that I want to do is I want to connect the regrade activities with component 4, with the backfill activities in component 4. And to do that, I add the number 4 in this bar at the top. This causes the regrade activities to be included in component 4, along with the backfill activities. Now, the user must fill in these two headings for the new information to be included in the footprint analysis. And although the user must populate these two cells, the regrade and the 4, by hand, we've designed CIFA this way to provide the user flexibility in setting up unique structures and comparisons for each footprint analysis.
Somebody asked earlier
about
how many of those templates you can copy.
Right.
And what you have shown right here are 7 of those templates that are active, 1, 2, 3, 4, another 4, and then 5 and 6. Karina has some of her columns hidden, which is why you can't see all 14 of them. And when we say that you can only use 14, that means only 14 of can be active at a time. You could have more than that of the more template tabs than 14. You just can only make 14 of them active at the same time. So you could actually have templates that are there that have information in them, but they just won't be fed into this summary table and kicked in through the rest of the spreadsheets unless you enter them here, and there's only 14 columns here for use. So hopefully that clarifies that earlier question about how many template sheets you can have or subdivisions you can have.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Doug. That's a really good clarification. And as you were speaking, I went ahead and unhid all the rest of those columns. I had them hidden just for purposes of simplicity and ease of use during the webinar. But as you can see, these are all the additional columns that are available, adding up to the 14 possible tabs in this workbook. And I can hide them or unhide them as needed just to make it easier for me to use. But they are there available for the user. And again, as Doug said, if we turn these on and off, that can be a useful aspect of our footprint analysis if we're testing different scenarios.
Right. For example, if Karen wanted to get rid of the regrade numbers, she could actually leave the regrade number there in row 6, but change the 4 to a 0, and that would prevent the rest of those numbers from populating through the rest of the spreadsheet. So she could basically turn the regrading on and off if she wanted to see how that affected the whole remedy. And that's sometimes useful if you're considering a bunch of different alternatives and want to try turning them on or off.
Right. So that, yeah, that's a very useful aspect of CIFA, of these worksheets, in terms of exploring different aspects of your remedy. Thanks, Doug. Now, so with that, let's go back and take a look at the main workbook. And we're going to take a look at the backfill column. And, okay, you had me turn them off. And now I need to turn it back on so that it shows up. We're now back in the main workbook, and we can see that whereas before this was 77 tons of CO2 equivalents, it's now increased to 91. And that is just the fact, represents the fact that we added the regrading activities to the backfill portion of the remedy. And then one last thing that we'll want to do is take a look in the general tab in the main workbook where we've named originally component 4, we named it backfill, but now I'm just going to change that. To say backfill and regrade so that it more accurately describes the activities in component 4. And you can see that the heading to the table has been automatically updated with that new name. So that completes our first example and demonstrating how to add a new remedy component to the CIFA worksheets, or a new remedy activity to the CIFA worksheets and how to integrate it into one of the existing components. And I'll stop here for any questions on this demonstration.
Hi, Karen. Yes, there is a pretty question that's applicable to many areas. The question is, can I change the fixed parameters, such as fuel usage rate, example, if I'd like to base my calculations on a different rate? I guess this goes back to the conversion factors.
Yes. Well, actually, I think that question is going back to the fuel usage rate, which would be here. You can't actually change that actual lookup number, but you can, if you see the cells at the bottom here, you can enter your own, you can describe your own piece of equipment or vehicle, such as hybrid car. I'm going to zoom in so we can see this. And then the miles. Let's just say it's using gasoline. And then you can put your own fuel usage rate. So I don't know, what is it, like 40 miles per gallon or something. And then you actually do have to make the calculation here. Let's see, what is it, divided by? So you can put in your own specific information, and that's available to you in whatever cells that you see here, in anywhere in the worksheet that are yellow. And that also highlights, again, the fact that CIFA is designed to be flexible so that you have that opportunity. If there's something that doesn't fit your site, you have opportunity to specify different parameters.
Okay, thank you. I see no other outstanding questions on the phone lines that we haven't addressed yet. On the Adobe Connect page, are there any questions on the phone line? And remember to press pound 6 Okay, so I guess we're ready to move on to the next section, Karen and Doug.
Okay, thanks. Now, I see that we have 6 minutes left for this part, and I can't get through both of the next two demonstration examples in detail, but I am going to touch on both of them without doing the data entry, but hopefully giving an idea to the participants on two additional very key factors or aspects of CIFA. And the first one is of adding or changing the fuel mix for grid electricity. So in our pump and treat part of the remedy, we are using grid electricity to run our pump and treat system. And I'll demonstrate that right here. In this electricity table, I've entered the treatment system and the amount of and information about the electricity usage, and then we get our total grid electricity demand right here. The user will then also, whenever there's electricity being used in their remedy, will go to the tab that you see down here that I'm highlighting with the cursor for grid electricity. Now, when you download CIFA for the first time in template format from the internet, these cells will be blank. There will be no fuel mix for grid electricity represented in these cells. The user must enter the fuel mix for their grid electricity in order for any electricity usage at your site to be included in your footprint analysis. In this case, I've added the fuel mix for Northern California. And part of the example that we won't actually get to is changing the fuel mix. But so just to show very quickly, the user can simply type in the new fuel mix, whatever it may be, into these cells. And then once the user has typed in the fuel mix, that information is processed automatically in CIFA, and the new fuel mix footprint is applied to any grid electricity that's being used at your site. So again, that's just to highlight the fact that the user must come to the grid electricity tab and enter the specific fuel mix being used in, representing the grid electricity that's being used at your site. So Carlos, for that one, I'm going to leave it there, and I'm going to move on to a second point for the CIFA worksheets. And
okay.
That is adding a new remedy material. And this, I think, will get at some of the questions that we've heard already. We're going to take the scenario that in our pump and treat system, we have used the default conversion factors for treatment chemicals that are provided in CIFA. And however, now we have new estimated footprint conversion factors for the actual treatment chemical that we're using. So I'm going to show how you add those to CIFA. And again, I'm not going to be able to go through this in detail and actually do the data entry, but I'm going to just demonstrate where it's done. So here we have our pump and treat tab. And I'm going to demonstrate here that we have a drop-down menu that has a number of different materials that may be used in a footprint analysis at a cleanup site. You can see that we have a number of different materials already loaded into CIFA. You can also see that we have these items here, activity 4 through 20. These are placeholders that are available to the user for adding unique materials for their footprint analysis, and they're currently blank. And I've already used 3 of them. This would be activity 1 through 3. And now we can see that activity 4 is available to the user for our new information about the treatment chemicals that we're using on site. And until then, you can see that we've chosen the kind of default other treatment chemicals and materials. Well, the way that we add our new footprint conversion factors for our specific treatment material is that we go to the user-defined factors tab that's in the Energy Workbook. And you can see here we have our same activity 4 ready for a new material. And I'm going to type in our treatment mix ABC. And then I'm not going to take the time to enter the information. In the interest of time, I'll just point out that the user then enters information about, let me get up to the headings here, about the units that that material would be found in, and then conversion to tons. And then the rest of this table is for our footprint conversion factors for energy, CO2 equivalents, NOx, SOx, PM, and air toxics. And now the research to establish the unique footprint conversion factors for a new material may be a challenge, but once completed and once you get those footprint conversion factors, entering them into CIF is actually quite easy. I would just type them in right here. And then there's a place for reference, and there's space below the table for information about referencing those footprint conversion factors. So once we put our footprint conversion factors for treatment mix ABC into this table, when we go back to the pump and treat tab and we look at our drop-down menu, we'll see that treatment mix ABC appears. So now we can choose it, and I suppose to make this clear, I should have taken the time to go ahead and at least put pounds in here and put the conversion factor. So at a real site, I would have done all that, but in this demonstration, since we're running out of time, I skipped that step. But so now we have treatment mix ABC, and when we put in the footprint conversion factors for this new material, CIFA now recognizes that and is using those new footprint conversion factors for the footprint of manufacturing this treatment mix ABC rather than the original material that we had, which was other treatment chemicals and materials. So basically, when we switch back and forth in our various choices here, CIFA takes the footprint conversion factors for each material that we've highlighted or that we've selected in this drop-down menu, and it uses those footprint conversion factors in the calculations table that we have visited a couple of times now. And just to be clear, I'll visit that table now. In this footprint conversion, in this table where the footprint conversion factors are being applied, this table gets its information cued by what we choose here. So I'll stop there with my demonstration examples, and again, we didn't go into detail on all of the data entry for the last two examples, but hopefully the brief description will have given the participants an idea of how to add a new item to a new material to CIFA and the new specific footprint conversion factors, as well as how to add or change the fuel mix for grid electricity in CIFA. And I'll just actually want to reemphasize that in both cases, really the hard work is finding and documenting those footprint conversion factors and finding the fuel mix, perhaps for a local grid electricity provider. But once you've done that research and documented it, entering it into CIFA is quite easy and straightforward. So, Carlos, I'll leave it there, and that concludes this portion. I think we don't have time for questions, and we should probably go back to the webinar, the PowerPoint presentation, so Doug can do his case studies.
Yes, the Adobe Connect page is cleared of questions, so we'll just hand it over to Doug for the examples. Let us know when you're ready, Doug.
I'm right here, Carlos, and I'm just going to advance the slides.
And Doug, you're going to go through quite a few of my slides, so you'll just...
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to find where I start. They're blank right now, so I guess I need to wait for them to update. But in any case, while they're updating... Excuse me?
Yeah, they're clicking through. We can see the CIFA demonstration examples and the recap. So
okay.
Here's the...
Here we go. Okay.
There you go.
So we've compiled four case studies, and these are case studies that I came across when I was doing optimization work, or remedy optimization work for Carlos's EPA office. And when we looked at these sites, we felt that these would be good examples of how either the methodology or CIFA were applied in these cases or could be applied in these cases. And a couple points just to keep in mind as we go through these case studies that, you know, CEFA can be used for looking at or calculating the footprint reductions from doing things like the optimization or applying green remediation best management practices, or it can be used to kind of help at least put a couple different footprints, environmental footprint trade-offs next to each other and allow you to help to evaluate those trade-offs. And a couple other things to keep in mind when you're going through these case studies in your own work is that CEFA, essentially for materials and waste and for the water footprints, it's really just a record-keeping exercise. It really only gets into calculations when you're doing the air emissions and the energy footprints. And of course, CEFA can help you compile these records or these calculations, but it's not going to help you use your professional judgment or other interpretations to evaluate trade-offs between one type of footprint or another. And the other aspect of it is that we're thinking of green remediation metrics here. That's all that CEFA can really do. It's not figuring out other aspects of a remedy, such as duration or other types of effects or protectiveness. So I'm going to move to the next slide, slide 62. And this is the first one. I've got one case study for each kind of core element, one for materials and waste, one for water, one for air emissions, and one for energy. And this is the one for materials and waste. And it's really highlighted about waste for the most part. And it's an acid mine drainage treatment plant that we saw in Region 10. And as part of that optimization review, they wanted to take us to take a look at potentially using the precipitated metals from the acid mine drainage treatment system for reuse in the manufacturing sector. And for those of you who are not aware, when acid mine drainage is treated, you essentially neutralize the fluids. And as a result, metals that are dissolved in the water will drop out as precipitates and form a sludge at the bottom of your collection basin or your clarifier. And then that sludge or those solids, which is a combination of metal hydroxides and water, needs to be managed and stored somewhere so that you continue to have capacity in your treatment facility. At this particular site, those solids or that sludge is stored on site in a central impoundment area. And there's about 200,000 tons of those solids already there, and that's metal hydroxides. And 5,000 to 10,000 tons are being added every year, so it's a pretty sizable plant. Now, when we were asked to take a look at the potential reuse of those of the metals that were in that impoundment area, there was some zinc, there was some iron, and some other metals. But the one that seemed to have the most potential market value and most potential for reuse was manganese. And approximately 14% of that 200,000 tons is manganese. And so, in concluding the analysis, the recommendation was that there is potential to reuse the manganese in the manufacturing sector, such as manufacturing of steel or batteries or treatment chemicals, and that it would be worthwhile to contact some potentially interested parties. So moving on to the next slide, some of the questions that come about when you apply the methodology or CEFA to this is, remember, for CEFA it's just record keeping. Well, how does this get reflected in the materials and waste footprint? Well, in this particular case, we're not talking about hazardous waste. We're talking primarily about non-hazardous waste. And if we're going to take 200,000 tons of this metal waste and move it and try to reuse part of it, we're going to have to move that 200,000 tons probably off-site in a landfill or some other waste facility. So I have here 172,000 tons would be disposed of off-site. Another metric in the methodology is percentage of total potential waste that's recycled or reused. That would be 14%. Now, that 172,000 tons disposed of off-site sounds pretty bad, but as far as the methodology is concerned, actually, if you look at metric MW5 and MW6, they're looking at total waste that's generated and disposed of, whether it's off-site or on-site in a regulated unit. So in this case, it's that 172 is actually an improvement in some ways. So now there's the other aspects of this is that there are environmental trade-offs here or footprint trade-offs that CEFA really can't help you get to the bottom of. This is going to be something that as professionals we have to and stakeholders we have to figure out for ourselves. With the on-site disposal option is currently the practice, there's no transporting of the materials off-site or the waste off-site. And there's no off-site disposal. It's all in that central impoundment area. There's also, however, no reuse or recycling. With the recycling or reuse option, we now have to start transporting the solids off-site. We have to use use off-site disposal, possibly in a municipal landfill. However, 14% of the materials
or the waste is going to be recycled or reused, which is a very nice thing. So there are some trade-offs here, and the thing is one better than the other? CIFA can't tell you the answer to that. There's a lot of different components here that you and your other stakeholders have to figure out. But it brings up the next topic, which is, well, what are the system boundaries of applying the EPA methodology or applying the CIFA analysis? And the concept here is that, yes, if we are going to move solids off-site to another location to reuse or recycle them, that transportation should be included. That's within the boundary of a typical footprint analysis for EPA for the green remediation. When looking at the disposal of the unused solids, perhaps in that municipal landfill, yes, that would be another factor that would be included. But when it comes to deferring or offsetting or avoidance of mining activities or other manufacturing practices or things like that, that starts to get beyond the scope of what would probably typically be considered for a typical EPA methodology application or a footprint analysis. Because of what Karen mentioned earlier, there's a lot of research that would go into figuring out what that avoided mining impacts would be, what the avoided transportation associated with bringing that mining ore to a manufacturing facility, and then also all the changes that a manufacturing facility may need to go through to process the recycled materials instead of recycled waste rather than traditional ore. So those are things that, although there's a lot of good things, good environmental factors from avoiding that mining and some of those manufacturing changes, we're noting those positives in the 14% recycled materials or 14% recycled waste, and that's good enough, and that's where the analysis can end. If somebody wants more information, it might be suitable for something like a more detailed life cycle assessment study. So that's our materials and waste case study. If I move to the next one, it's our water footprint example. And this is another site in Region 10 where we did optimization. And it's an interesting site. It's a groundwater remedy. There's a pump and treat system there. And there's also a seep collection and treatment system there. The main treatment is for VOCs. And there's really two main areas where water is being used. And the nice thing about the EPA methodology and CIFA is that there's a lot of different ways to use water, a lot of different types of water to use, a lot of different fates of water once you're done using them. And so for that reason, the EPA methodology was set up to allow the user to define what those uses are, where the water was coming from, where it was going to go, and how it was being used. And in this particular case, the pump and treat water was coming from a drinking water aquifer. And so you can see here that we have, in the first column of our table, city wells. From the Deschutes River Alluvium. It's a drinking water quality aquifer. We're using, the units are in thousands of gallons here, so it'd be 420 million gallons per year, actually. The water's being treated with an air stripper, but the town or the city was actually doing that anyway just to adjust the pH, and that also just happens to remove the VOCs, which is a nice feature. And then the water is used for the public water supply. So in some senses, yes, 420 million gallons per water is being used every year as part of the remedy. But when you think about the use, the water is actually going where it was intended to go in the first place. The drinking water quality water from the aquifer was being used for the public water supply. It wasn't being diverted to another resource as a result of the remedy. The second use of water at this site was a seep that was coming at the bottom of a topographical feature and running over ground, and what happened is that they created a subdrain, collected or prevented that seep, diverted that to a lagoon for treatment, and then allowed it to flow to the surface water body that eventually would have flown to anyway. So in this case, again, even though 71 million gallons of water is being used every year as part of this remedy, it's actually ending up in the place where it actually belongs. And so The methodology allows you to, and CIFA allow you to highlight this so that stakeholders can help interpret that water use. So that's our second case study. I'm going to move on to the air emissions. And this is a groundwater remedy that's in the design phase in EPA Region 6. The optimization recommendation as part of an overall analysis at the site was to streamline the proposed treatment system. And some of the design parameters here was that the TCE at the influent of the the design concentration was less than 50 parts per billion for TCE and less than 70 parts per billion for CIS-1-2 DCE. The groundwater reinjection standards, or the discharge standards for this particular remedy, would be 5 parts per billion for TCE and 70 parts per billion of CIS-1-2 DCE. So you can actually see the CIS-1-2 DCE doesn't need any treatment. The expected flow rate for this plant was 150 GPM. And the original design included air stripping and liquid phase GAC for polishing, air stripper off-gas treatment with vapor phase GAC, and a dispersive agent that would likely need to be added to avoid some scaling that's caused by the chemistry changes associated with the air stripping. And one of the optimization recommendations was to basically eliminate the air stripping from the remedy, go with liquid phase GAC only, and then change the liquid phase GAC based on the TCE breakthrough only, because the CIS-1-2 DCE, even if it passes through the carbon, is below its ultimate discharge standard. And when we look at the benefits of that, we're avoiding the aeration and all the energy usage associated with that. We're avoiding a lot of the materials associated with the dispersive agent. And we're avoiding the footprint associated with the off-gas treatment as well. So how does that affect the, what we call the inventory of the remedy? We're decreasing the amount of scale inhibitor that's being used. We're decreasing the electricity usage by over 100,000 kilowatt hours a year. Decreasing vapor phase GAC usage for vapor phase treatment or for the off-gas treatment by 25,000 pounds per year. And the liquid phase GAC actually doesn't change much as a result of these changes if we get into the nitty-gritty of it. And when we look at the reductions associated with these potential changes, the CO2, and that's actually CO2 equivalents, 280,000 pounds per year, a good portion of that, more than three-quarters of it from electricity reductions, another 20% of it from materials reductions. There's also substantial reductions in the NOx, SOx, and PM footprints and the hazardous air pollutant footprints. And just one thing to note here, that all these air emissions that we're talking about are global reductions, things like from a power plant or from material production, not from something that's actually on-site generated by on-site equipment such as a backhoe or excavator. And I can move to our last example now. And our last example is an energy case study in which there was a pump and treat system that there was a decision point. Do you continue with the original pump and treat system with a sizable energy usage per year? Do you go with an optimized pump and treat system where you can reduce the energy use and per year just because the remedy had progressed quite far enough to optimize that pump and treat system? Or do you apply in-situ thermal treatment, or ISTT? In this case, you can see what happens over time if you were to use CIFA to forecast out where would be the cumulative energy use over, a 30-year period. And it's reasonable to assume that the site would actually last 30 years if it didn't, 30 years or perhaps more, if this ISTT is not conducted. So if we look at this in over time, the blue arrow shows that there would be substantial energy usage over that 30-year period, 200,000 million BTUs. And the optimized energy system or pump and treat system would be closer to about 100,000 million BTUs per year. And then if we were to go with the ISTT or the in-situ thermal treatment, there's a big bump up. We start off with 50,000 right off the bat because that's how much it takes to actually treat the target area with in-situ thermal. But after that, there's a very slow burn for the maintenance of the site thereafter. In fact, it might even be zero depending on how successful it is. And what we saw is that it actually is successful, and I think by about year five or six, it will probably have no continuing footprint after that. So we look at it in the end, by using CIFA, we were able to see that we're dealing with over a 30-year period, 200,000 million BTUs, 100,000 million BTUs, or just slightly over 50,000 million BTUs. And you can just see the difference in how we use CIFA to get to those different results. And same sort of disclaimer that Karen had earlier, this chart was made based on data from CIFA. CIFA did not generate this table itself. And we can open that up for questions or turn it back to Karen and Carlos.
You Yes, Doug, I see no, there is one a general question which might carry till the end. I see no specific questions on the, hold on, there is one from Luis again. I think we addressed this one earlier, yes. So no outstanding questions. So I hand it back to Karen or see if there are any on the phone lines. I understand we only have 15 people on the phone lines. This is almost purely virtual. But anybody on the phone line, do you have any questions? Remember to hit #6 to unmute your phone. Okay, no questions on the phone line. So we just did get a question. It's starting to come in now, one from Lynn Bailey. The question is, how do you incorporate time ranges for treatment into the calculations?
I guess well, the way that I handle it for a lot of pump and treat systems or long-term remedies is I'll typically look at it on an annual basis and calculate out the numbers for a particular year. So when you saw me do the water footprint case study, that was on a per year basis. When I did the pump and treat air emissions case study, that was also on a per year basis. And so if you want to figure in time frames, you can simply take that annual footprint and multiply it by the duration. If you wanted to figure out what the if you expected some variation in the footprint over time, then you could run, well, here's the annual footprint for years 1 through 5, here's the annual footprint for years 5 through 10, et cetera, and do those calculations outside of CIFA to figure out what the cumulative footprint would be over a longer period. But in the direct answer, I typically do it in on an annual basis and then use that annual number as I need to get to a long-term number.
Okay.
It's all about defining that functional unit.
Okay, we get a thanks from Lynn, so thanks for that, Doug. We are at 51. We did save 10 minutes for some additional questions and just a bit of a wrap-up. So I'm going to go ahead and take us to that next slide. So we've just finished covering the case studies. Thanks so much for that, Doug. We do have a couple of few minutes for wrap-up discussion, so we'll go to that. Let me first bring up this question that's been lingering there since the beginning, and I thought it might be a good one for a wrap-up. It's from Mike Gill, a colleague of ours from EPA Region 9, and he mentioned his question or statement is that this looks like a very consuming, a time-consuming task. Is there a rule of thumb in terms of the minimum size of sites such as AOC or volume of impacted media that we recommend for the use of CIFA for? So I guess just a couple of thoughts of at least what we share with our folks within EPA. Couple of rules of thumb is, one is professional judgment, definitely. As you build more experience, you can determine if you believe a footprint quantification is really necessary. There's also the potential cost of footprint reduction measures. If you're looking at significant cost, that could be cost drivers for your remedy as a whole. You might benefit from having quantification numbers to better inform those decisions. And of course, if you're in the private sector, you're a consultant, well, what your client requests might also be one of those drivers. But I was wondering if either you, Doug, or Karen have any additional thoughts on that in that area. So the question is criteria for determining whether application of a CIFA would benefit you at a project.
Yeah, this is Karen. I do have a comment about the thought that, well, this looks like it would take a lot of effort. And so, again, it's professional judgment in terms of what site might benefit from doing a footprint analysis. And at the same time, you may have just one very specific limited question at a site. For example, we had a site where we just wanted to understand the footprint from transporting waste off-site. That was the key thing in the backs of our minds that we really wanted to get a handle on and how we could reduce that. And that was a very simple usage of CIFA. So this gets at the point that although these worksheets may look complex to the first user, they can be applied as complexly or as simply as required for the question at hand. So in the example that I'm describing, our question at hand was, well, we were going to send all this waste off to this one disposal site, but what if we send it off to this other disposal site with a different mode of transportation? And CEFA was very simple and straightforward to apply to that very simple question. So I think the key is be sure you're clear on what the question is that you're trying to answer before you even open up CEFA. And then if it's a very simple question, then CEFA is very simple and straightforward. If it's a more complex question, like the footprint from a large remedy that has all kinds of different aspects to it, then yes, CEFA helps you organize that information, and you do have to spend some effort to enter the data and research the data, and CEFA provides you the benefit in that case of organizing and summarizing the information that you have.
And Carlos, this is Doug. I'll just add another point to that, which is that the research in terms of the remedy parameters that you're going to use to as input into CEFA, that's the hardest part of this whole thing, that and then documenting your results. And so if you are doing a study where you don't, where the research is already kind of being done, say as part of a feasibility study, and you're doing this exercise as part of a feasibility study or as part of an optimization study or as part of a design or part of an annual report, and you already have all that information right at hand, or you've been working on the site for 10 years and you just know the numbers, it's really not going to be problematic and time-consuming to do that, especially if you're also writing up something already and all you have to do is add in another brief section. But if you do a third-party study where someone's coming in and doing the footprint analysis for you, they don't know the remedy that well, they have to do a lot of research on it, and they have to write up a separate report, it becomes more of a time-consuming and resource-intensive effort. Also, the other part of the research that can become somewhat more complicated is when you have to look at some, you know, really site-specific footprint conversion factors or some really unique activities that may not be readily defined in CEFA or the methodology, and you have to start going and looking for those from other resources. That can be another factor that complicates things for you. So it really depends on whether you can link up your study with something else that you're already doing, and also if what kind of levels of complexity you're trying to go beyond what's already canned in the methodology in CEFA.
Perfect, thanks. And yes, I did want to add one more thing, and that some experience that we've had is that often conducting these environmental footprint analyses, they have certain differences from more conventional battle engineering or just engineering analyses or cost analyses. And they often help uncover remedy or system inefficiencies that we may not otherwise know about unless we ask the questions that we're asking of the remedy through the application of the environmental footprint analysis. So let's see, we have another question which is specific to CEFA, and we've gotten some similar ones. The question is whether CEFA will be updated periodically, as it seems that some elements can change. And I am going to address that in part of my closing remarks, but I wanted to mention, yes, we will be providing, we'll be updating it as we identify areas that are in need of changes, and those have been made. So yes, we do continue to maintain the spreadsheets and upload them as these changes are made. And the other question is, and Doug might seek your help with this one, and maybe Karen as well, since you both have experience in this area as well. The question is, how does CEFA differ from the other from the two other federally funded footprint tools, SRT, Sustainable Remediation Tool, and SiteWise? So you guys might know one of those was mostly funded by the Air Force, the other developed by Battelle, funded in great part by the Navy. And we are also interested in knowing particularly how those tools map out against the footprint evaluation methodology. And we're actually taking a close look at that, working in collaboration with some federal agencies at site level in EPA Region 9. We just drafted a final look at some of comparative analysis, and I'm not sure if there's anything you want to add to that, Doug.
It's a pretty tough question to answer in a minute, but there are the studies that you're talking about, and there's also one that was done in Region 6 where those two tools plus CEFA plus a life cycle assessment software called SEMAPRO were all compared as well. So there's some studies out there that, that will kind of help highlight on those. And, of course, all these tools are also changing over time, and it's something, and when I've been involved in those projects, it always seems to be a moving target to compare these tools because they're getting updated over time and improving over time. So it's a pretty tough question to answer in such a brief time.
But we do hope to get back on that question because it is something we're looking to resolve, particularly as we work with our federal partners in implementing footprint analyses and footprint reduction measures. So with that, those wrap-up points I wanted to make, the first one is, you know, the role of CEFA as part of EPA's greener cleanup efforts. So these spreadsheets for environmental footprint analysis, they were developed based on the EPA environmental footprint methodology, which, as you now know, is released in 2012. And just to remind you that we had a May 22nd webinar on that higher, bigger picture level of what the methodology, what its role is in remediation projects. In many remediation projects, we anticipate that project managers might decide to go straight to best management practices, such as those that are identified in EPA's series of quick reference fact sheets that describe best management practices for the most common remedial approaches. You'll find these on the CLUIN website. Basically, it's 4 to 10 page fact sheets on green remediation BMPs at, for example, pump and treat systems, there's bioremediation, dig and haul, the most common remedial approaches. So some project managers might opt to go straight there. But in other cases, where there's a more complex remedy or the footprint reduction costs a higher, quantitative evaluation may be a better approach. The methodology and the associated spreadsheets are designed to be program neutral. That's a question we often get. Is this unique to Superfund? They're not intended to be unique to any particular program. However, they are geared for use at larger, more complex sites, where quantitative analysis is needed to inform footprint reduction efforts and investments. So the green remediation section of CLUIN is very actively managed, and as you may know by now, it has an area dedicated to footprint evaluation methodologies. So per the earlier question, any updates to the spreadsheets will be posted there, as well as case studies, examples, et cetera. We continue to use CEFA in our footprint analyses. We are training our project managers in the application of environmental footprint analyses at sites in the program, regardless of whether these are being conducted by Superfund at funded sites or we're acting in an oversight role. There's always some training to provide our project managers on. Also wanted to mention that the upcoming ASTM standard guide for greener cleanups also recognizes the role of footprint analyses in reducing environmental footprints at site cleanups. And this footprint methodology is one of the options available to conduct the quantitative analysis proposed in that draft standard guide. And we have a little section on the green remediation about the standard guide. So with that, we move to the next slide. I want to thank Karen for all the work she put into preparing this webinar. Thank you, Karen. It came across very smoothly, very thorough. We had a great turnout, 212 folks at least online. So thanks for doing that. Also thanks to Stephanie Vaughn and the engineering forum for their role in the development of the methodology and the training we're preparing for RPMs. And Doug, for your contributions both on the webinar and on the development of the spreadsheet as well as the footprint methodology. And with that, I wanted to go to the comments sheet, but I can't do that. Gene, maybe you can help me. I thought it was the next slide, the feedback form.
Sure, no problem. I'm going to go ahead and bring up that slide and just, again, echo Carlos's thanks for everyone who was able to join us for today's broadcast. We're going to go ahead and start the closeout procedures for today, but we wanted to let you know that we would ask if you could take just a moment to fill out feedback for today's event. We would greatly appreciate it. There is a link that appears on the right side of your screen to something called the seminar feedback form. I'm going to make sure everybody's got a copy of that in your Q&A window as well. If you could just take a moment and click on that link and submit feedback and let us know what you thought of today's session, we do greatly appreciate it, and we will read that information and use it to help improve additional delivery.
For those of you that shared the line with multiple parties, each person can actually be fill out their own feedback form. You simply need to fill out the form once, and there'll be a link that pops up that will allow the next person to hop on your computer and fill out their own feedback form. If you are looking for credits or verification of your participation today, I would direct you to that feedback form. There is a box you can check on the feedback form that if you fill it out and you check the box, a confirmation email will be sent to your own record for your records that at least verifies you submitted feedback after the live delivery. Although it won't necessarily be a certificate, if you save your registration email and a copy of the presentation materials along with that feedback confirmation email, you may find that that's enough to earn credit from your accrediting institution that's requiring the training. The other thing I wanted to point out to everybody is that we do have the copies of the presentation material available to download from the seminar homepage. So again, if you follow the links under the right side of your screen under web links to the seminar homepage, there are links to something called additional resources or our links page. You can click on that and download not only copies of the SIVA spreadsheets, but also copies of the presentation material that were covered today. Today's session was recorded and will automatically be archived on the CLUIN website. It usually takes us about 1 to 2 weeks to post those. If you signed up for today's seminar, you will automatically get an email letting you know once that archive is available, and you're certainly welcome to forward that on. Again, our archives are freely accessible, so if you think it was useful, you can send it to anyone you like, and they'll be able to download or replay it at no charge. I think that's the end of the closeout reminders that I have for today's session. Carlos, any final statements before we shut things down?
No, just remember that URL, cluin.org/greenremediation. Thank you.
Great. Thank you all so very much. This will be the formal